Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, here she is. Soon-to-be birthday girl, I'm not going to say about that, Lisa Brown, who's the director of Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation, amongst other things, at the City of Rock Hill. Is that true?
Yeah. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
How you been?
Well, yeah.
You have your green colors on. Come See Me's over with, by the way.
I still would like to represent Come See Me throughout the year. I'm going to start a new trend.
You're starting to sound like a politician now.
No,
thank you. So as we always do, I'd like to reintroduce our guests. Let them hear a little bit about you for all the newbies who've arrived here in town since you were last on the air. So tell us a little bit about Lisa.
Sure, happy to. So Lisa Brown, I'm a representative of the City of Rock Hill as well as the Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation. I've worked for the City of Rock Hill just about 13 years as a financial analyst initially, and then strategic planning role has changed over the course of time, and grateful for the last 2 years to have been in the economic development space.
And a proud mom of three kids who love, the whole family loves baseball.
That's it. Three boys, Cole, Henry, and Winston, who are 11, 9, and almost 8.
Tell everybody what you did on your spring break.
We went to 4 Major League Baseball parks.
You saw how many games?
We saw 4 games in Baltimore, Philly, and New York City.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What a trip. Okay, Southside Connection. I'm willing to bet you that if I lined up the people here in Substation 2, and we asked them, do you know about the Southside Connection, what it's all about? Unfortunately, I think a vast majority would not.
Sure.
So explain to them exactly what we're talking about when we mention Southside Connection.
Sure. So a few years ago, and meaning you know this, and hopefully a lot of other folks do, the Knowledge Park Action Plan took place just over 10 years ago, and so much of that was an intentional effort to figure out how to drive redevelopment into Rock Hill's downtown. Following a lot of success of the Knowledge Park Action Plan, there was a community group that really wanted to talk about the south side of Rock Hill. So this is looking at Saluda, Albright, Heckel, and the areas and communities that are on the south side. From a data perspective, if you look at median household income, single-parent households, any of the demographics that say that there's an area of concern, the south side of Rock Hill is clearly an area of concern. And so the community group kind of pulled together, asked that the city would support a study looking at what we could do to better the lives of the residents of Rock Hill south side. And out of that was called an effort called the Clinton Connection Action Plan, which was really based around 4 vision themes that had 2 projects each. So the great 8 projects were identified by the community. They were prioritized to say these are the things that we feel like are really, really important to help elevate and lift the community of the south side of Rock Hill.
So that list of 8, we haven't gotten them all done. Let's put it that way.
But we have made some progress.
We have made some progress. And we should highlight the progress. And I'll let you go ahead and do that.
Sure. So, you know, I think with redevelopment strategies, it's always a big part of that is the partnerships that really go in. So public-private partnerships are, of course, how we've made a lot of successful things happen in the city of Rock Hill. And clearly Knowledge Park is a great example of that. I think it's also about calculated risks and figuring out when you have community engagement, what are the risks that we can take kind of that aren't all on one entity's back. And so the 8 projects, you know, it was everything from trying to find opportunities for mixed income housing. And, you know, we've seen some great progress with Edgewood, the old former school district, being renovated into or being torn down and being rebuilt currently for 216 new units that will be kind of at a lower area median income. then we had other projects like McGurr Auditorium, which was recently renovated at Emmett Scott. This is the former African-American high school. This was the auditorium that served that high school campus that the city of Rock Hill has had ownership over for years. But, you know, it just took a lot of money, and over $7 million has been poured into that facility to upgrade it. So all new seats, all new AV system, and we've hosted a few events there. It's just a really shining pillar.
Well done, and I can't wait to see them start booking some activities over there that'll draw the public in.
They have, yeah. There was a literary festival and lots of dance recitals. We had the Mayor's Come See Me tour over there this year, and just, you know, a really shining example of how we're able to kind of reallocate funds and figure out a way to help support these public infrastructure or public buildings that are on the south side of Rock Hill.
I tell you what, you all must sit down there at City Hall, and it's like juggling balls in the air. How can we do everything that everybody wants to do when we have a finite amount of resources? I know, talking to Jeremy Winkler earlier this week, grants have been a big thing.
Absolutely.
Tracked a lot of money with grants, but it's not enough to do everything that everybody wants to do. So it's a constant process of, all right, this looks good now. Is it going to look good in 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
Is there a priority now, priority later, whatever?
And that's the beauty of strategic planning. So for years, I've been heavily involved with the city's strategic plan. And what I love about the way that the city of Rock Hill is strategic plan is we have a cycle every 3 years where we pull data, we do business surveys, community surveys, employee surveys, we do focus groups, we do all these events to gain all this feedback of what it is that our community wants to see and what's really important. And then you have efforts like the Knowledge Park Action Plan or the Clinton Connection Action Plan that allow us to kind of dig deeper into where we really want to focus our energy. And I think having that kind of strategic planning based on data and based on feedback allows us to say, okay, these are the things that are the top priority. And we'll never have enough money or enough time or resources to be able to do all the things that we want to do. But we can certainly make steps in a positive direction if we have that kind of well thought out plan.
And I think if anybody knows the history of how long something like the Southside Connection is going to take, only has to look right down here for what used to be known as the Textile Corridor, now University City, used to be the Bleachery. I mean, that whole project took 25 years, if it didn't take 30.
Absolutely.
It was one step forward, 10 steps back, and everybody kept working. Everybody kept working, kept plowing money into this study, that study. And, I mean, we could spend hours and hours and hours talking about it, but look what we got now.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
And I think, you know, you'll see the same thing on the south side. So, you know, we've got other park improvements. So when the Clinton Connection Action Plan first got approved 4 years ago or so, there was, you know, the public-private partnerships, Habitat for Humanity and Republic Services did a big project to go upgrade Carroll Park, for example, and did a cleanup and put new bleachers and things in it. We've got Armory Park that's going to be renovated this summer. So this is right on Saluda Street beside the AME Zion Transformation Center, where they're going to take out that baseball field, which I know oh too well, that doesn't drain very well, and make that artificial turf. And then it's going to have essentially like a football obstacle course on it. There's going to be a new walking trail. I mean, this is a $2 million project to upgrade Armory Park. $1 million of that was a grant. And so, you know, as you referenced, those grants are crucial in helping us figure out how we mitigate risk and how we try to find ways for this to be a collaborative, shared effort that everybody can benefit from.
And I think people need to realize there is a change in the mood of what's going on in that big, big mess down in Washington, D.C. And who knows what kind of grants are going to be available once that process is all over with. I mean, I hope they'll all be there, but, you know, realistically, we're in a mode of cutting back, and that's what's going to happen. So one of the biggest projects that is getting underway, and again, it's going to take years and years and years to do, is this new Southside Park. That park is going to run all the way from Heckel Boulevard, basically all the way to downtown Rock Hill.
Yep.
So take me through that.
Sure. I think in the same way that Rock Hill has a very long history of taking on really big projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned the Bleachery earlier. I mean, the Blue Tree caught fire how many times before city council had to take a very calculated risk and say, do we want to invest what it takes to clean this property up and figure out how we make this work? And partners like REGDC and others in the private development community stepping up to say, okay, we can find a way to make this happen. I think in the same kind of gritty spirit, you'll see the Southside Regional Park work out. So we've got a good public-private partnership with the Legion, which is located right there on Heckle Boulevard, to help support that facility. And you'll see it built out in phases. I think we're realistic that, you know, hospitality tax is wonderful, and we appreciate when people go eat at places like Substation 2 and contribute to the prepared food and beverage tax us to have these facilities. But, you know, we'll do it in phases, and we'll do what we need to do to make that a park that will draw the tourism component of what helps us pay for these facilities, but will also be something that local residents will get to use, especially the football complex, you know, the baseball fields, the walking trails. So I think we'll just do what it takes to get the job done.
But realistically, this is what, a 10-year, 15-year, maybe 20-year project?
Hopefully not 20. I think we're, you know, I think we're trying to be as aggressive as we can on a timeline. And I think people will start seeing some trees being cut down and some early site work later this year on the first segment of it. But, you know, it will take a while because we want to be good stewards of the dollar that we have and make sure that we're balancing out the bigger interest of the community.
You know, I can remember, because I've been here long enough now, how much discussion, we'll just call it discussion, there was about implementing a hospitality tax. But if you look at what that hospitality tax has done, sports and event center is a perfect example.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was a $30 million project years and years ago. And now we're building the annex to it, hospitality tax dollars there.
Yep.
The parks, I mean, all these upgrades to the parks have been going on. I mean, you talk about, that has been, all these people who are flooding into this place on the weekends, thousands of them, to watch their kids play baseball or play volleyball, whatever it is. They're helping us, you know, kind of rebuild the infrastructure here in Rock Hill. I think it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that I think we keep close tabs on because everybody has to work in concert together. So we need the business community to be supportive and to see how these the hospitality taxes are going back to feeding our facilities. And we have to have high quality facilities. I think, you know, most people will recognize Mark Sexton and his entire department do a phenomenal job of maintaining those facilities, making sure that they're clean and that they're well lit and, you know, parking's not a challenge. You know, I think really thinking of it holistically of how we can better support these facilities is top of mind. And this, you know, Southside Regional Park is going to be something we've never done a park this
large. No, that's exactly right. But you look at what things like the BMX have done to this community. I mean, it's put us on the map, the world's map, in the world of cycling. I mean, there's no question about it. No. And when you think about the tournaments that Sports and Event Center is bringing, you know, the Adidas 3, whatever.
3SB.
3SB, yeah. And Nike and the rest of them are coming here.
Yeah.
And then you go out to the Rock Hill York County Airport, and you see the pictures of 25 or 30 corporate aircraft all parked there on the runway.
Yeah.
Right? Filling up with gas, buying. I mean, it's cool. It's cool. All because of the hospitality tax, which is limited. In terms of, you can't use it as general fund stuff.
Correct.
It's all for fun stuff.
Yeah, tourism generating. That's it.
Now, one of the, I think, more visible Southside projects was where the old Burger King used to be located there on Saluda. Developer, I had a chance to interview him. Nice guy. Impeccably dressed. I asked him, where did you get that suit and tie? And he said, well, my daughter got this for me. And I said, well, you look great. Vincent James was his name, and he's cleared off those old buildings, but nothing really is. Is he a victim of the economy going on and interest rates?
I'm not 100% sure. You know, I think, you know, development is a really difficult kind of world to be in because there's so many factors that go into it. And so I think we remain optimistic to be a partner in whatever way we can to help spur development. But, you know, it's a really uncertain time. And I think between interest rates and the question of tariffs and, you know, it's always a kind of challenging time for any developer to say, all right, I'm going to move today instead of waiting until tomorrow to see what that may bring. So we're, you know, cautiously optimistic of what that looks like. But I think there's other opportunities that we can also talk about on the south side that aren't just that one parcel, because there's a lot of other development opportunities on the south side.
Of course, everybody would have loved to have seen that 90-acre tract along Highway 901 which at one time was supposed to be the next Walmart Supercenter, and that just kind of fell by the wayside, as did the other Walmart markets around town. But is there any life left in that project? I mean, is anybody kicking the tires on that piece of property?
You know, I call Walmart about once a year and just ask the question. You know, I've gotten bounced around to a few people, but the same lady I call every year has been calling me back. You know, I think they're also just trying to figure out what they're doing. I think, you know, there's always, you remain optimistic and hopeful because that's all that we can do when it comes to privately owned land that is going to be privately developed, that you want to try to see what you can do to help move things along. But, you know, there's a lot of other smaller tracts of development that, you know, in the last few weeks even, I've met with a couple different property owners that own property on the south side. We've got some more scheduled for the coming weeks to just kind of say, okay, you know, maybe it's not a Walmart, but maybe it's a smaller commercial development. Maybe it's a restaurant. Maybe it's, you know, something that the community needs. The grocery store is, of course, the thing that we would love to see, but, you know, that's just a really hard sell to the private community of how do you make a grocery store work and what kinds of things can we do to try to help move them along. So
it all gets based on body count. You got to have a lot of people to get a grocery store interested in,
And a lot of money.
So I thought at one time there was somebody looking at a piece of that Highway 901 property for some type of a housing project. Is that still in the winds?
Yeah, so there was a project called Albright Commons that was, it was a little bit south of the Walmart site and across the street. That project has been entitled for, there was space for a grocery store. So I remember it had a 40,000 square foot commercial facility at the front. It included single family and multifamily units. I haven't heard anything here recently. So like I said, it's just one of those questions that exist, but yes, that property has been entitled for those.
There also was a question that came up that this only the state legislature could fix on how the law was written, is whether a project like that would be tax exempt.
Yeah, you know, that's a challenge that the city, of course, is facing, but this is something that the school district and the county are also facing, where you can have entities that essentially a portion of their ownership is nonprofit and they can file for tax exemption as a for-profit entity. So there's a lot of multifamily apartment buildings that we've seen go this way. You know, the first year that our CFO, Ann Hardy, noticed it, it hit the city's general fund budget by $1 million. And this is constantly something that we're watching. Any new multifamily project that comes up, you know, making sure, because I think we all take for granted that when we call 911, heaven forbid something happens, our Rock Hill Police Department is going to show up, or the fire department's going to show up. And if we don't have the taxes to help pay for that, I mean, that really puts us in a bind as to how we can continue to support public safety, because that's where most of our property tax dollars go.
I thought the state, I thought the delegation was going to get this fixed.
They were working on a proposal. I'm probably not as up to date on it. You should ask Jeremy on Wednesday about where that's landed.
Sure,
but it's definitely still a challenge.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, our specialty is not building buildings, but building fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in these white letters that we're all going to chant out together at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef, sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, "Hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill."
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill. And it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. That voice in the background is Lisa Brown. She's the director of Rock Hill's Economic Development Corporation, and she also does a whole bunch of other stuff for the city of Rock Hill. And we're here going through the South Side Connection, and we've been through the ups and downs. What is going on right now? Because you've referenced there's some projects. Go ahead.
So, you know, the bread and butter of what we want to see is more of a commercial or industrial tax base. And, you know, this is, as we've talked about, this is part of our broader community and how we look at things. And so, you know, the intention of a lot of our business recruitment efforts are really trying to get industrial as much right along I-77. There's a fair amount of property out there that we really feel like are good opportunities for manufacturing or a lot of the targets that we have there. But, you know, there's been a fair amount of new development off of Porter Road. So take, for example, Excel Truck Center that gorgeous facility and really helps serve a variety of businesses and just the nicest, most friendly people. We had the ribbon cutting last year, and they just clearly understand community and how what they provide helps support the broader, you know, manufacturing and distribution trucks.
Absolutely.
And all of that. We're super excited that this summer will be the grand opening of Stiva. This is an Austrian company located on Porter Road right beside B&B Distributors. And they essentially produce parts that help manufacturers automate their processes. So super wonderful company, a $30 million investment with 48 full-time jobs. And really so much of what they do is helping work with manufacturers to help create individual parts or pieces that go into their equipment. So super specialized. But that's the kind of company that manufacturers want to be near because they know as they're looking to add new lines of business or modify that you have somebody that can actually create what you need for your machines is super wonderful.
I can remember being out there for the groundbreaking of that facility. Poured rain that day. Rain was everywhere. I thought these guys were going to turn around and leave, but no. It's quite a concept they've got out there.
Absolutely. And we did a tour a couple months ago with our friends at York County Economic Development. And it's just amazing to see, you know, the progress that they've made so far. And it's just such a high caliber development.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can visually see it from the outside. But even interior, I mean, it's clear that they are invested in this community for a really long time. And couldn't speak more highly of Andreas with the company because he's just lovely.
What else is cooking out there?
Yeah, so right behind B&B Distributors, Pedker Construction is going to be building a facility out there. This is a $15 million investment with 52 jobs, and these are kind of more specialized. So think about like engineers and folks that are going to help. And Pedker Construction has, they're kind of all over. They're in the Midwest as well as in the Southeast, but, you know, just really a lot of their work is done with schools and kind of civic buildings and things like that. They're going to be a great asset to the community that I think we're really excited for them to get started, hopefully later this year.
And?
Oh, see, the list goes on and on.
Go ahead.
We also have Karis Cold, which was a, this is right off of Lazy Hawk. So this was a speculative building, but it's a refrigeration facility. And you think, oh gosh, refrigeration, what does that mean? It means that, you know, not every business has a big refrigeration need, but we're super excited. I can't say it today, but you should hear an announcement here in the next week or two about the tenant that's going to be moving in there. But I guess I'd say all that to say, you know, in total of things that we're aware of, we're talking about $120 million in investment on the south side. A lot of that, like I said, along the 77 corridor. There's a lot of other conversations that we've had with a lot of developers that own land out there of what their plans are. And as we talked about earlier, development's tricky because it's hard to know whether you're better to move today or tomorrow, but you certainly can't move yesterday. So,
but it's a snowball effect. If you get one or two, all of a sudden the rest of them begin to fall in line.
Absolutely.
And you get in an area like Porter Road, which is virgin territory.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity out there to do stuff. Lots
absolutely.
Of stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a big part of how we have operated is trying to figure out, as I mentioned before, strategic planning and kind of laying out what our vision is and what it is that we're trying to accomplish. A lot of that is trying to figure out for development when you have kind of greenfield sites, what kind of utility investments do we need to make? And so a lot of our work on the water and sewer side, especially to some degree electric, has been figuring out, okay, where do we need to put lines? Where do we need to put water tanks that can help support these developments? Because we know if we really want to create our destiny and create our future from an industrial perspective, we have to do it in a way that our utilities can handle and not put ourselves in a situation where, you know, we have interest from businesses that we don't want here because they may not be ideal for our wastewater treatment plant, for example, or maybe not a good fit for our community and our values of what we want to see here.
Which brings you to the annexation of the large tracts of land up and down I-77, which are huge parcels. But the whole idea there is, okay, if we can get them into the city, then we can start planning for the utilities that are going to have to be there and work in partnership with those landowners to see if we can make them a future industrial park of some kind.
Absolutely. And, you know, that annexation was 4 years ago. It was 100% voluntary. Every property owner that signed an annexation agreement volunteered to do so. And they were agreeable. We didn't force anybody to do it. But it really is about planning for the future that we want. And, you know, our friends at York County Economic Development, we've been working really closely with them to talk about target industries and what kinds of things we want to see as a community, to be a little bit pickier and choosier about what we want to see and how we can aggressively try to go after those target industries that are a long-term investment, not a company that may be here today but not here in 5 years.
Yeah.
But also how we can balance that out with the utility system and the restraints that we have from that perspective.
Yeah, because I think it's very clear that we don't need any more distribution. We got plenty of distribution here now.
Absolutely.
And distribution doesn't do a whole lot for the tax base. Manufacturing does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're trying to get. Which brings you right back to the discussion we've had many times with the mayor about, you know, the Outlook project. You know, 200 and some odd acres, prime real estate. But as he points out, hey, there ain't going to be no Buc-ee's here. We're not going to build, you know, a bunch of housing development. Is this going to be a generational change, a transformational project? And he's right. And the cities, from everything I can get, they're in no rush. We'll get it when we get it.
Yep.
But we're going to make sure we understand this. We only have it one opportunity to do this, and we're going to do it right.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, Lisa, you've done a good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Any more baseball trips?
Arizona. Always one on the docket.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Of course, here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, what the heck do? We prepare fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week right before your eyes. Now, for those who are here, I want you to see that nicely dressed gentleman over there. All right, you see these white letters? We're all going to chant them out together at the count of three. Are you ready? What we do here at Substation 2, one, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Hard.
Not bad. Better next time. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.